All right. Well, we're going to move some things off the stage for just a minute. And as we do, I want to introduce my friend Oliver and his wife, Lori Marson. We're glad to have them with us. They live in Tennessee. And Tennessee is a place where it rains. We don't know about that here, but anyway. Just want to encourage you, sit back and relax and meet a Bible character today, and he'll explain to you who he is, and let the Lord speak to you.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in the modern day churches, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A letter to the modern day church. What a thought. But if I were to write to the modern day church, what would I say to them? You see, the modern day church knows of my other letters. The letters to my friends, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. They know of the letters to the churches, the church at Corinth and Colossae and Ephesus and Rome and Thessalonica and Philippi and Galatia. Can you believe the church at Galatia? They were teaching you could be saved through works. Oh, we had to stop that. We had to slice right through it like a Roman through a Babylonian. None of that. It's all grace. But to write to the modern day church, what would I write? I think I would write on missions. You see, missions has become so distorted in your world. You talk about taking up an offering and sending it to a missionary somewhere over there. You gather food and clothing and send it away to a missionary. You understand, that's not biblical concept of missions. You are the missionary. Please don't misunderstand. Don't stop giving to others. But the burden of missions rests on you. As long as you treat it as somehow external, you excuse yourself from doing anything. You understand, Jesus Himself commissioned you. Shortly before He left this earth, He said this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The disciples standing around Jesus that day thought He was talking to them, and He was. But He was looking forward through time to you and you and you. You see, the disciples expected Jesus to return in their lifetime, but He said, "I will be with you till the end of the age, the end of the world." Brothers and sisters, He was commissioning you. So if you will accept for one moment that you are the missionary, then the question becomes, what is the message of missions? And it is very simple. It is that Jesus is the Christ. That He came into a sin-filled world and lived a perfect life so He could be the ultimate sacrifice. He willingly laid down His life and died on a cross that you might have a relationship with a holy God. But that's not the end of it. On the third day, He arose to conquer death. He is the Christ. That is the message of missions. So you are the missionary. You know the message of missions. How do you deliver that message? When I wrote to the church at Corinth, I addressed this. I told them, "Though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant to all, that I might win some for the cause of Christ. To the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jew. To those under the law I became as one under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those without the law, I became as one without the law. To the weak, I became weak. Brothers and sisters, I have become all things to all men, that I might win some for the cause of Christ." Don't misunderstand. There is but one message, that Jesus is the Christ. But how you deliver that message depends upon your audience. You adapt the message so that they will listen to you. There is nothing more important than them hearing the message that Jesus is the Christ. So, you understand the message of missions. You understand how to deliver the message. But what of those that are difficult to win? You understand there are those in this world that see no need for themselves for a Savior. The good, the moral, in their eyes. What of those? Perhaps no one is better qualified to talk to you about that than I. You see, before there was Paul, there was Saul. And as the world looked upon Saul, he had everything going for him. Who was Saul? Saul was from the right family. I was of the tribe of Benjamin and a free Roman citizen. Who was Saul? Saul had the right education. I sat at the feet of the leading Bible scholar of my day, Gamaliel. Who was Saul? Saul was religious. The son of a Pharisee and a Pharisee myself. Who was Saul? Saul had a cause. You see, a new sect had come onto the scene in my day. A sect called Christianity. I was afraid they would water down my precious Judaism that I held, clung to so faithfully. Yes, so I began to try to wipe out this new sect. And so it was that I was on the road to Damascus. I had scrolls in my hand that would allow me to arrest and even to put to death any Christian I came in contact with. When suddenly, from the sky, there shone a bright light. It blinded my eyes. I could not see. And the voice I will never forget. Saul! Saul, why persecutest thou me? Lord, who are you? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what would you have me to do? The point to which every message of missions must come. Did you hear? Did you hear the two parts? I called him Lord. A recognition that he is Lord. Oh, but brothers and sisters, the demons know he is Lord. So you must add the second part. Lord, what would you have me to do? An act of submission, an act of turning over your will to His will. This is the response to the message of mission. So, you know the message. You know how to deliver it. You know what the response is that you're looking for. Brothers and sisters, you must be ready for the sacrifice of missions. There is always a sacrifice when you walk with Almighty God. You say, What sacrifice? Perhaps you will understand better if I share a little bit of my life with you. Five times was I given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead. I was in constant peril. Peril in the city and peril in the wilderness. Peril at land and peril at sea. 3 times was I shipwrecked. Once spending an entire day and night in the deep. I was also in peril from my enemies. But brothers and sisters, I was also in peril from my friends at times. One time, the governor of Damascus, he dispatched an entire garrison of soldiers to apprehend me. Just me. I spent much of my time shackled to a Roman guard. You know the funny thing? Those shackles work both ways. I discovered that your command to deliver the message of missions is not dependent upon your freedom. I was so often chained to a Roman guard, they threatened to make me an honorary legionnaire. But you know, while I was his captive, he was my captive audience. I cannot tell you how many Roman soldiers will be in heaven because they could not get away from the message of missions. And then there's the thorn in the flesh. I am amused by your Bible scholars spending months on end debating about what my thorn in the flesh was. Do you want to know? I thought you would. But you know, I learn from my mistakes. You remember the church at Corinth? Do you remember what they were arguing about? One of the things, there were many. They were arguing about who was greater, those saved by Apollos or those saved by Paul. Brothers and sisters, neither Apollos nor I saved anyone. It's Christ! If I told you my thorn in the flesh, half of you would be claiming the thorn of Paul, the other half the thorn of Roddy. Do you not understand? It doesn't matter what your thorn is. We all have them. Every trial and temptation that comes your way, it's different for every person. What's important is what I did record. I cried out to God day and night 3 times. God, take away this trial. Take away this thorn! And do you remember what God's response was? My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you hear that? But what did he say next? Paul, in your weakness is my strength made perfect. In my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Oh, brothers and sisters, it will change the way you look upon trials. Now I rejoice. Praise God. Praise God, for in my weakness is His strength made perfect. I had many trials in my life, but many gave even more than I. I am ashamed to tell you that I started the river of blood. It was I holding the coats and authorizing the death of Stephen. Yes, it was I that started that river of blood. I will never forget the look on his face as the rocks begin to rain down on him. He got a peaceful look on his face and he cried out to the heavens, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And he laid down as if going to sleep. And he died under the torrent of rocks. Jesus said that his church would be a costly bride. And as always, his prophecy has turned out to be true. James was beheaded for preaching the risen Christ in the temple. Matthias, tied to a cross, draped with carrion, eaten alive by vultures. Jude Thaddeus, he was crucified. And then as he hung on his cross, the crowd shot him to death with arrows for sport. Nathanael was skinned alive. And then he was crucified in double agony. Philip was hung from the column in a Greek temple. Andrew crucified in Egypt. Matthew beheaded in Alexandria. Mark dragged to death behind a Roman chariot. James Alpheus thrown to his death from Herod's temple roof. Thomas speared by an angry mob. Simon the Zealot. Simon was sawed into pieces while he was still alive. Luke was crucified in the Greek city of Achaia. And Peter, my dear friend Peter, Peter was forced to watch as his beloved wife was crucified on Vatican Hill. Through his agony, he cried out, "Beloved, remember Christ! Beloved, remember Christ!" Peter himself, feeling unworthy to be crucified as his Lord and Master, instead asked to be crucified head down. When people ask you, "Is the message of missions true?" tell them of these and others, many from their own crosses, even to your current day. Tell them how from their crosses they proclaim the life-giving power of the message of missions. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ! But brothers and sisters, if the sacrifice of missions is real, so too is the reward of missions. Jesus himself, not long before he left this earth, spoke of this. He said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For the Son of Man is coming in all of the glory of the Father. And when I come, I will reward every man according to his work." In the letter to the church at Corinth, I spoke about it this way. Do you not know that all who run a race run, but only one gains the prize? Therefore, run as if to gain the prize. Everyone who enters the race puts their body into the strictest training. And what for? For a crown that will perish and fade away. But you and I, we strive for a crown that will never fade. It will last forever. Therefore, I do not run as a man running aimlessly. I do not fight as one beating air. I bring my body into the strictest submission so that after preaching to others, I might not be disqualified from the prize. There is always a time when a letter must end. I would ask you to think this morning on the things that we have spoken of. Understand that you are the missionary. Know the message of missions and take it and adapt it to the audience you are speaking with. Be ready for the sacrifice of missions and strive for the reward of missions. There is probably the best admonition I could give you at the end of my letter to Thessalonica. I would ask you to bow your heads this morning. I would ask you to listen to the admonition from both me and Almighty God. Be at peace among yourselves. I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are idle. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none renders evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesyings. Prove all things. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from even the appearance of evil. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And all God's people said, amen. Well, it's kind of nice to have Paul here to write a letter to the modern day church. Amen. Well, there's our challenge. You're the missionary. As we go from this place, let's take the name of Jesus with us. Amen. I want to just invite you once again, if you will, to bow. We're going to have a time of sharing in the Lord's Supper this morning. And let's just bow once again and Lord, we love you and we thank you for Ollie. And we thank you for this message that we have received this morning. We thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, you inspired the Apostle Paul to pen these words in such a way that all these years later, they apply to us as if they had been written today. We thank you, Lord, for a living book, that when we open it prayerfully, we know we can hear from you. Lord, we thank you for the message that we are the missionaries, and that when we go forth from this place, that we have a message, and Lord, that we can know that the world hated you, and it's going to hate us as well. But the reward is far greater than the momentary light affliction that we encounter in this world. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one this morning. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our own, as our Savior. If there's someone here this morning that hasn't, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray for those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would recognize that we have a mission delivered to us by our Lord, and that your Holy Spirit has empowered us to carry that mission out. And so I pray you'd send us forth to take the gospel from this place. Would you take just a moment, just spend a moment with the Lord, ask him to examine you right now, do business with the Lord, and then after we've taken a moment, we'll share in the Lord's table together. So we read the writings of Paul. We're reminded that in the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." As you and I come today and we break this bread, I want you to remember the Lord's sacrifice on our behalf, the fact that he gave himself up for us. And as you eat the bread, I want you to remember that Jesus did that for you and for me. Dee, would you ask the blessing, please, for the bread?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we can come here together and worship you, and we pray that we would go out into this world being missionaries for you, Lord, and we pray that you would bless this cup, and we thank you for making the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
And after they had supped, the Bible says that Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As you and I come and we drink the cup and we look into it, we can't help but think of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for us. The only thing in all of creation that takes away our sin. And so we drink this cup to celebrate, to look back upon the cross and to remember what he did for us, and to look forward to his coming, to come back and get us and take us to be with him. Amen. Man, Tyler, would you ask the blessing, please, for the cup?
Dear Lord, we humbly bow before you this morning, and we thank you for all our many blessings. We know that it's your breath in our lungs, Lord, and we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And we know that the best gift you ever gave us was the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born into this world and who lived a perfect life that none of us could live, and who willingly gave us life on the cross, and it literally became sin to pay for our sins. I pray that we, as we remember this, we don't take that lightly, and I pray that as we partake of this, we do so in a pleasing manner and in remembrance of you until you come again, and we rejoice and look forward to the coming of Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Will you come today, share in the Lord's table together? If you're visiting with us, we welcome you to join with us. The only things we ask of anyone who shares in the Lord's table, first of all, that you're a Christian, that you've been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, that you followed him in a believer's baptism by immersion. If that's you, please come share in the Lord's table today.